Feeling lost and alone? Looking for validation from your partner, only to find the feeling of rejection and continued frustration? You're together yet so far apart. Now your frustration has turned into disdain and resentment. Your insecurities have begun to affect every aspect of your life. Ironically, you have now become the cold and detached one, shielding yourself from the uncertainties of your relationships. Dr. April Brown has created Bringing Intimacy Back, a series of discussions that are designed to help you reclaim what you have lost along the way. Dr. April will help you rediscover and reconnect to the intimate relationship your heart so desires. Go to www.bringingintimacyback.com today and let the healing begin.
Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. On this show, we aim to help you increase the intimate connections between you, your partner, your family, your higher power, your community. We give you the secret power to intimacy, to create a life you love, or love the life you love. So on today's show, as you guys know, we are in times that we've never been in before. And so today's topic is complex emotions during COVID-19. And when this whole thing in COVID started back, for me, I think I got involved in it in the sense of from work and from personal life back in March. And I was just trying to figure out how can I help my clients? How can I help myself? And I went and I heard, actually online, I heard a wonderful speaker, Dwight Bain. And he did psychological recovery through this. And that inspired me so much that as soon as the workshop was done, I begged him to come on the show. So for today's guest, I have Dwight Bain. Thank you so much, Dwight, for being on the show.
I'm very honored to be with you, Dr. April. We are going to today speak to some of the anxiety, the stress, the pressure, because we are the first generation in our lifetime to be able to deal with a pandemic. And I know this, one day it will end, and it will end better if we can stick together and stay intimate and close through these very challenging times.
Yes, definitely. Well, let me tell you guys a little bit about Dwight Bain. He's a trusted media source, having been quoted and featured in the Washington Post, New York Times, Orlando Sentinel, and many radio and television stations across the major network. He has challenged thousands of audience to create a positive change in organizations like Toyota, Advent Health, and the U.S. Army, and many more. He is skilled as communicator and led to being selected as the best speaker. You guys listen to this, the best speaker in Florida 3 years in a row by Toastmasters International. He is a best-selling author on the subject of creating change through his books, blogs, Chicken Soup of the Soul stories, and he's a lifelong resident of Orlando, where he lives with his wife over 30 years. He's also a strong and a wonderful counselor and a mentor to many people, therapists throughout the world, I believe. His purpose is to help leaders and organizations in rewriting their story through strategic change. So please let us welcome again, Dwayne. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you. And thanks again for the opportunity, because nobody's ever lived through this, but I know that we can learn from each other. With a pandemic, we're recording today, week 17, and we look at this week by week. We're learning about this disease as we go. We're making adjustments, and here's where to wear a face mask. Here's how to do physical distancing. Here's how to open back up a business. Unemployment numbers are still very, very high. So many people are stressed. And if I can't control the stress on the outside, I want to be able to control my moods on the inside. If I can't manage the stress and the pressure on Wall Street, I want to focus on what happens on my street. And that's why talking about relationships is essential, because if you have strong relationships, you'll get through this better. If you are isolated, if you're going through isolation, desperation, and you're feeling like you're in it alone, it is essential to plug into healthy supports, healthy community, because nobody will get through this alone. But together, I know we can. And I'm thankful we can talk about that today, give your listeners some of these strategies to make their life at home a little bit better. We'll survive. I'll say that many times today, April, because yeah, it's easy to think this will last forever, and it will end. tough times never last, tough people do, is how Dr. Robert Shuler used to describe it. And that's still true today.
Yes. And before we get into the complex emotion during COVID-19, I really want to ask Dwight, how are you doing?
Thank you for asking. I can remember when I was working with a team in New York City on the pile after the terrorist attacks. And every day we were doing what we could. Our team was there for months. And I remember on a radio talk show, a host named Lisa Williams, she asked me that question. I was unprepared.
Okay.
And ever since, and I started to cry.
Yeah.
Because these are hard times.
Yes.
And so thank you for asking, because we're all impacted in different ways. I haven't been able to see my father, who I was one of his caretakers, but because I have some responsibilities in the community, I haven't seen him in person. We've talked FaceTime, but over 4 months. So there are challenges, but because of having a strong faith, having strong relationships, and practicing something I call aggressive self-care, I'm happy to report today that my physical body is healthier than when COVID started. My wife said, we are going to eat clean during COVID lockdown. I'm 30 pounds lighter. She's 20
wow.
pounds lighter, because
amazing.
You can't control what's happening on the outside, but you can control you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my sister, she always makes me laugh. She said, they want you to wear a face mask inside your house. I said, why? She said, to keep you from eating and snacking and stress eating. And I went, well, there's probably some truth to that.
Yes.
But to be able to know, we want to control what we can. I can't control global economy and recession, but I can control my mood. Mm-hmm. I can manage my mindset. And if you have mental toughness, mental resiliency, Dr. April, you can survive this. You can survive just about anything. So my marriage is better than it was 4 months ago. My physical health is better. Financially, I think we're stable and strong. We've used up some savings, but the goal is to remember, and this is a key principle for your listeners.
Yes. Okay. What is it?
Hard times, difficult times, right? I can't focus on the big stuff. So I'm going to focus on the things I can control. You can control you. You can control what's called box breathing. The Navy SEALs teach this. It's a relaxation technique you learn in yoga. You can control your heart rate, your respiration, your blood pressure. You and I can control our nutritional intake. We can control the amount of sleep that we're getting. We can control taking care of these physical bodies. But after night will come day. This will end. After the winter will come springtime. Always happens that way. After a recession will come progression and opportunity. And so to be able to take the long view, other people have gotten through difficulties. We will too. How do you do it? One step at a time, one healthy decision at a time. And that starts with conversations just like this one.
Yeah. And since you mentioned the word control, and I know you've worked in the trenches with Sandy Hook shootings, Columbine, Hurricane Katrina, as you mentioned, the New York City 9/11. So you've helped out a lot. And many of us are helping healthcare workers, and some of them, and some of all of us, including myself, were control freaks.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah, here we are. You know, it's like a 12-step group. Hi, my name is Dwight. I'm a control freak. Yeah, I'm there.
So how do you stop, like you said, and realize this is only thing we can control is really ourselves. We can't control how all this, you know, and my toughest cases many times are with the healthcare workers, because it's so hard to see what they're going through.
Yeah, it's essential to be able to take a breath. The prefrontal cortex of our brain, this section right here, is where we do our executive thinking, our executive functioning. And when I'm stressed. Everybody is impacted by this. Everybody is affected. Not everybody has the same coping skills. Not everybody has the same strategies of support. And that's why not everybody is coming through this the same way. Same stress, same pressure, same crisis, but not everybody's managing it well. That's why some people will actually come out of this stronger, more resilient, wealthier, more prosperous. They will have captured market share. Their relationships will be healthy, stronger, better. Why? There are two paths in this type of a crisis. One path is continual strength. The other path, these are the people who are trying to control things that they can't control. That will exhaust you, deplete you, wear you out. And so what I like to do is sometimes pull from stories. Okay. And I like to look at stories like a young woman that was fired from her job in television because her producer said, "You're too fat," and fired her in Baltimore, Maryland. She had a mentor named Maya, and Maya Angelou said to a young Oprah Winfrey, "Girl, you don't have to believe what they tell you. We'll get another job." She goes to Chicago. She'd been criticized. "You're too personal. You share too much of your story on TV. Nobody cares." She goes to Chicago. A man named Phil Donahue, the reigning king of daytime television, she topples him, becomes the queen of daytime television, becomes a billionaire in the process. Why? Because you knock me down in Baltimore, I will rise up stronger in Chicago. I can have control of my choices. In psychology, they teach stimulus response. Not true. Maybe true for animals, Pavlov's dog. Stimulus, something happens. I get a choice. It will change the outcome. It's not just bad things happen to the economy. Oh my gosh, we're screwed. It's not just bad things happen out there. We're dead people. No, you and I get a choice. And when we choose that spot in the middle, when I choose to be mentally healthy, spiritually strong, relationally resilient, when I choose in the middle, these are things I can control. And so when people say, "You don't understand how bad it is," I'll say, "Do you have a library card? Do you have a Netflix subscription? Do you have Disney Plus? Let's find some biographies about Maya Angelou, who at one time in her career to feed her baby boy was a sex worker. At one time, she was a cook. When by the time she passed, she had 55 honorary doctorates. Why? She reinvented. Tough times didn't knock her down forever. Tough times knock us down. And when you get knocked down, you ask for help, you get back up. And that's what I want your listeners to be able to do. I don't know their tough time, but I know, April, if they were sitting in the studio with us right now and we could hear their story, we would go, "Wow, that's tough. What are your choices? What options do you have?" I teach this, taught it to my kids, called the Yahoo principle. Yahoo!
Yahoo, okay.
Right? Yahoo, look at the initials. You always have options and opportunities. Y-A-H-O-O, you always have options. You always have opportunities. I'm going through a tough time, but I don't have to let it knock me down forever. My company laid me off. You know, you get laid off from a company, you go through a tough time. Walt Disney went through that, invented something called Mickey Mouse. Going through a tough time, if you look at the Jeff Bezos, the Elon Musk, what happened? Those tough times empowered them to get creative. Remember, I said there's two paths. Mm-hmm. The resilient path, you'll get more creative, more focused. The other path, you'll get more stressed, more overwhelmed. And you get a choice, but you have to take a breath. You have to calm your thinking. You have to have powerful conversations just like this one to be able to reinvent. If that's what you're facing in your career, this could be the best time of your life.
Mm-hmm, definitely, yes. Well, we're going to take a little break here, but in this little break, I want you to let the audience know how they can get more information about you.
Oh, well, how kind. So all you have to do is go to DwightBain.com, DwightBain.com. You can follow me on social media at Dwight Bain across all social media. I post every day about resiliency, inspiration, how to overcome difficult times, because I teach on one topic and the topic is change. If you're going through a tough time, a crisis, maybe you need counseling focus. That's been my background over 30 years. But for many people, their lives were kind of flatlined. They came through the lockdown and they were just kind of bored. You know, is this all there is in my marriage and my job with money? I'm kind of bored. Those people need coaching. Those individuals need a challenge. They need to be able to say, "What were you born to do?" And if you know there's more that I can do in my marriage, in my family, in my relationship, my partner and I are at a bad spot, you get a chance to work on this. You can reinvent. You have a choice. And that's what I do. I help people change. And watching that, it's been the greatest joy of my life.
Amazing. Great. So a lot of things that you're talking about is resiliency. Yeah. What are some tips on helping people learn how to be resilient? Is it something you're born with or something that you learn? And I know the support system is, you know, something that really impacts.
Well, it really is. Is it something you're born with? No. Unless you were blessed to have teenage parents like me, because I grew up around teenage parents who said, "Yeah, those people trying to shame us, but special birth, special purpose. Ooh. That's God's plan for you, young one.
Of course.
Right? So if you've grown up around amazing parents, and I was blessed to have amazing parents, then you just grew up kind of looking at the adults in your life going, tough times. Oh, look, they turned the electricity off. We're going to get some candles. We're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. If you, I don't know how to say this without hurting feelings. If you were born with parents who all the bills were paid, the money was always good, everybody liked each other, you had, you know, Christmas was always fun, you never had a rough time, I'm kind of sorry for you, because you're going to have to go learn resiliency by listening to some stories of some people with some battle scars. They've got mm-hmm. the tats and the piercing that say, I've been knocked down, but not knocked out. Because you learn resiliency. It's a learned attribute. Okay. You're not born with it. But if you grew up with hardship, difficulty, and some of the greatest stories that we draw inspiration from are because we watch people get knocked down, but they got back up. Okay. Chuck Wepner at one time was trying to be the heavyweight champion of the world. 1972, he's fighting Muhammad Ali. He didn't win, but he kept in the fight. A guy in 1972 named Sylvester Stallone, watching on sports, wide world of sports, says, that guy keeps getting hit, but he never gives up. I'm going to write a screenplay about Rocky Balboa, the Italian Stallion, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I think people would be inspired by the story. They were. The movie was made for less than $1 million, launched the career of Sly Stallone because he made a film about don't quit.
Right.
Won the Academy Award because Americans said, I need a story like that. And I don't know what your Rocky story is, but if you don't have one, go find one, because resiliency comes from living through the battle, coming out on the other side. And I believe, April, that your listeners, if we were live and we could take call in, mm-hmm. I think that people would call in and say, you have no idea what I'm going through in my marriage. No idea what my partner puts me through. No idea what's happening with money. And we would listen to those stories and we would say, what keeps you going strong? And they would tell us, and we would say, that's it. That's what you stick with. That's what you stay with, because the goal of life, keep moving forward. The secret to life, it goes on. Dwight, you don't know what I did yesterday. I really screwed up. Hey, my name's Dwight. I'm a sinner. I go to a 12-step group. That's how we introduce ourselves. But I know this, you and I can go on. We can press on. COVID-19 will end, but the lessons that you learn, the lessons you teach your baby boys and baby girls, those lessons will live forever. Those are the lessons we're talking about. That's how you get mental toughness. That's how you get resiliency. One next breath at a time, one right step at a time. When we move forward like that, it changes our destiny, changes our story, but it will ripple into the lives of our kids, our friends, and others will be encouraged, because they'll draw power and courage from how they see us living our lives. And that's why these conversations are so important.
Yeah, definitely. And I like how you mentioned that you have to find that thing that motivates you to make you stronger. And you got to focus on that to continue to move. Yes. In some of your writings, you talk about C-19, a mental health timeline.
Yeah, C-19. Absolutely. So C-19 is just an abbreviation for COVID-19. And yeah. To be, you know, honest and a little embarrassed, April, 5 months ago, I didn't know what C-19 was. 5 months ago, if you said, what was Zoom? I would say, I think it's a cleaning product. It will make your bathroom sparkle. I didn't know what Zoom was. I didn't know what COVID-19 was. I'd kind of heard about it in January, but I was absolutely out of the loop. Mm-hmm. So February comes, I'm hearing a little bit more about it. March comes. And so here's the COVID-19 timeline. In fact, I'll provide one that your listeners can go to your website. I want them to be able to have it. Because okay. a global pandemic comes in three stages. And right now, we just entered stage two. We're recording this in July 2020. We just entered stage two. Stage two is 6 months. Stage three will start in January. And that will be approximately 12 to 13 months. Right? So a pandemic like this one, COVID-19, we're looking at the next year and a half of our lives from the date of this recording. But what I created was a mental health timeline so you could see what is the normal psychological reaction. Because remember, it's normal in mid-March 2020 to be freaked out that there is no toilet paper at my grocery store, right? That was normal because people were like, oh my gosh, we're going to run out of toilet paper. The herd mentality, people start to panic. Remember this prefrontal cortex, and they stop thinking clearly. Mm-hmm. And because everyone said, we're going to run out of toilet paper, just like right now, there's kind of a shortage of coins, quarters, nickels, dimes, pennies. Because people are like, oh, I better hold on to metal currency instead of paper currency. And you say, where's that coming from? It's herd mentality. Don't try to explain it other than people, when they're panicked, will make very bad decisions. They'll think about that later and go, why did I worry about toilet paper, right? But remember, in mid-March 2020, April, it was about, oh, I've got to have these things and then I'll be okay, right? So the mental health timeline looks at what is normal, listen, in an abnormal situation. This is the most abnormal, large-scale disaster in the history of our lifetime. And I know that we are learning, just like we've learned from every mass disaster in the past, we learn as a people, we get stronger, we figure things out together. One of us is not as strong as all of us. One of us is not as insightful. We learn from these conversations. And I want our conversation, April, to ripple into others because COVID-19 timeline, we just entered a six-month stretch that will take us into late December. It'll take us into early January. But I know this, when I go 5 months into the future on the timeline, because it's important to know what's coming. If you know what's coming, you're not as panicked. If you're a college freshman and somebody, your sister went to college there and she says, let me tell you the ropes. Let me tell you what in the dining hall to eat, what don't eat, right? What do? We learn from somebody else's experiences. And on the on the timeline, if we know what's coming, it'll take that anxiety level down. But I can tell you, here's what the holiday season looks like. I'll be home for Christmas. The number one song, 1943, Bing Crosby sang it. I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Because America was at war. And at war, I couldn't stop the war. I couldn't stop the Nazis. But I could promise, Mama, I'm going to try to be home for Christmas. And I think what we're going to see this year is family, home, people being able to say, I just want to be together. I don't think there's going to be 1.1 million people in Times Square watching the big ball drop. I think they're going to be at home with the people they love, with good food. And I think that family, what the work you do, April, is going to be more important than ever, because I believe this holiday season, people will say, I want a meaningful relationship. I deserve to be loved, cared for. Our home should be the safest place. No matter if all hell is breaking loose on the outside, this home will be a place of love and support, acceptance, intimacy. Everything you teach about will be more important than ever. And it happens this Christmas if people choose the path of resiliency and strength. And we're going to give them the tools to be able to do that. And as I said, it starts in conversations just like this one.
Mm-hmm. And I believe you're right. People are now focusing so much more on their families, their relationships. Yes.
Yeah, they will. And it will matter. Now, here's the other side of that. It may hurt some people's feelings, but what if you're in a dead marriage? What if you're in a distant relationship? What if you have toxic people around you and you've been locked up with them for 8 weeks? I'll tell you what people are thinking, April. They're saying, am I going to live the rest of my life with toxic dysfunction? And what's going to happen is they're going to say, well, hold up. Time out. Time out. We need to work on this relationship right now because I've spent 8 weeks and I haven't had to run and do this and take the kids to soccer practice. And I've had 8 weeks to see maybe a glimpse of our future. And we need to make some changes. And we need to make those changes right now. And you're a change agent to help. That's why your work will be more important, because I believe more people than ever will say, it is unacceptable for me to choose the path that I saw my father walk. And he stayed in toxic. He stayed in dysfunction just because he thought it was right. About killed the man. I'm not going to do that. I choose healthy or I choose change. But I do not choose to stay in something that is toxic, dysfunctional, dying, without at least saying, stop the presses. We're going to do something about this. We're going to do it right now.
Right. And I'm glad that you mentioned that we're only in phase two. Because sometimes people are thinking, you know, I'm not going to make a change until this is over. And they're, as you know.
2022 is a long time from right now. Yes. They want it to be over, April. They want to be able to say, oh, I want to be able to go to my local AMC movie theater and I want to see the new Mission Impossible movie and I want the old world, old world's never coming back.
Yeah.
You know, a disease has reshaped culture. Now we will be okay. We will survive, but listen to what Charles Darwin said. It is the species that's the most adaptable to change. And if you're able to change quickly, you actually get stronger through a situation like this. Now, listen, friends, if you are not changing quickly in your small business, it could be over. If you're not changing in your relationship, it could get really bad really fast. Your relationship with your teenage son, your teenage daughter, if you see this is going sideways, we need to do something. We'll do it now. COVID-19 will impact our culture another 16 to 18 months. You say, well, I heard there's a vaccine. In about 16 to 18 months.
Right.
16 to 18, I mean, we're on week 17 as we're recording this, April. This is going to be affecting us for a long time, but it doesn't have to end our ability to build a good quality of life. In a difficult time, you can actually get better, stronger in a difficult time. You can maximize to the greatest of your potential, but it comes back to those words. You have to make a choice, and you have to sometimes say, I need some help, and you have to do what we're doing right now, and that is to open up a conversation and to say, I'm not going to go through this alone. And that's why I know that your listeners, your viewers are going to want access to some of the resources. I'll give it to you. Please share it with the people that you love, the people that you care about, because we're not in this alone. And together, we can get through it better.
Yes, with hope.
No question.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Please definitely share the information you have, and we'll put it out on our social media.
I absolutely will. I look forward to that. And I'm going to do something that my college-age daughter, who works at Walt Disney, she said, Dad, you got to tell the world about Dr. April. So I'm going to take, all right, big smile. Here we go. Okay. Yeah, all right. Because she said, you got to talk her up on social media. So in just a few moments, I'm going to be talking up on social media, because I want all the people in my social media stream to be able to hear this conversation, because I want them to go home and say to their partner, hey, bro, hey, sis, stops here. We need a healthy relationship, and we need to change so that our home, because this year, Christmas, financially could be pretty rough, April. Right. But the greatest gift people could give each other is what you teach. If they could have a healthy marriage, a healthy family, a healthy home environment, they have the greatest gift of all. That's worth more than any gift they could financially buy, because it's something that will last for a lifetime, and it's something they can teach their children for the storms to come.
Exactly. Thank you so much for everything. God bless you.
It's been a pleasure. Yes. God bless. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Now we're going to go on to we're going to do a little commercial break. And when we come back, we have someone that will come on the show and talk about singles and dating and intimacy during COVID-19.
During this difficult time that we are all facing, many people are in need of someone to talk to. One option is speaking to a therapist to express your anxieties if you're feeling isolated or just need someone that will listen and help you with coping skills to get through. Dr. April Brown is now accepting new clients and is working with her existing clients through distance video counseling. The services are through a secure online HIPAA web-based practice management platform called Simple Practice. This technology can provide a secure two-way interactive video counseling session over the internet. For more information about video counseling, please email Dr. April Brown at info@draprilbrown.com, or you may call 239-565-6921. Thank you. And remember, we are all in this together.
All right. Welcome back to the Bring It Intimacy show, where intimacy is real. I'd like to thank again our last speaker on the show, Dwight Blaine. He did a great job. And so right now on the show, we have Lori. I'm not sure if Lori can hear us. And Lori is here today, and it's Lori Hackadire of Leave It to the Lori Advance. Hi, Lori. How are you doing? Your speaker is off.
Oh, it is?
Okay, there it is. Oh, there it is. Take it off one more time. Your speaker, I still cannot hear you. Your microphone. There it is.
Am I on?
Yes, you're on now.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes. Welcome, Lori, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Let me tell you guys a little bit about Lori. Lori has just recently, within the past year, moved to Southwest Florida. She traveled a lot using RV, working around traveling, and just trying to figure out, I guess, what she really wants to do. And she has a business in dance and fitness, and she's always been a planner. And one of the things that is specialized for her is this whole dating environment, and she's an expert in it. And so she has created a thing called Leave It to Lori Events. It's a dating avenue. And so today she's on the show today to talk about that. So first, how are you doing personally with what's going on with COVID and all this?
Well, I'm struggling because I'm such an extrovert. So this is hard because before COVID, I was all around like Bonita, Naples, Fort Myers, booking up all these different type of events. And then they got canceled. So, but yes, I like to be out and about. So it's been a little hard, but okay. It is what it is. So you got to do it. So.
Yes. And just reinvent yourself, which is what you've been doing. How did you get involved working with singles?
So I have been single. I've never been married. So I have been on the dating scene for many, many, many years, too many years, but, I had always thought that like the regular singles events or maybe when you just gather a group of people and meet up at a bar, it wasn't very effective. Okay. So I decided once I moved to Fort Myers to do singles events, but with a twist. So I would hold them at a bar or a restaurant and people would come, but it would be a different aspect. They would mingle, but it was almost like, I guess you could call it forced mingling, where I would have them rotate around to different groups and I would ask them, you know, each group a question and they had to answer the question out loud one at a time. So this gave people a chance to just listen to somebody they maybe would have never interacted with in the first place. Because after they were done with one group, I would mix the groups up and move them to another group and ask them to discuss another question. So it was a great opportunity for people to kind of focus on the person, their personality and their story, and not just initially on the physical aspect. So it went very, very well, actually. And then I had a thought, I'm like, I had met a life coach and I was like, I think we should start adding more because dating is, you know, it's very hard. And I think a lot of people are not sure how to do it anymore. They don't trust the internet. There are a lot of people out there who claim they're ready for a relationship and honestly, they're not. Maybe it's because they were just recently divorced and they think they're ready or they're not, or they're widowed or, you know, they have some underlying family issues or whatnot. So I brought in Amy, who is a life coach, and then another girl named Sarah, who was more, did the sexual coaching. So Amy, after we did the mingling event, Amy did a whole hour talk to them on the mental side of dating and being very direct as to what you want, but mm-hmm. also looking inside yourself and being very self-aware, you know, being self-aware about your strengths and weaknesses and where you truly are, mentally, physically, and emotionally. And then, you know, she brought some people on stage and we did some exercises. And then we ended with Sarah, who studies the erotic blueprint. And I'm not sure if you've ever heard of that. But it talks about more of your physical preferences, kind of like the love language, which is more of like how you receive love or give love. And Sarah's was more about the intimacy part of the physical side, like what you want. And it was just phenomenal because it was mingling, which loosened them up. And then we got to sit down and kind of talk about more of the serious, real topics. And, you know, people left meeting people they never would have if it wasn't interactive, if it was just, you know, hey, let's all meet at a bar or let's, you know what I mean? So
your events have more of a very intimate discussion. And that's what makes your events unique.
Unique, yes. And I force them to mingle. Because sometimes okay. if you go out, you know what I mean? You could find somebody attractive and spend the whole night speaking with them. And then you could have missed a person who really is the right one for you because you didn't initially go up to them because you didn't initially find them physically attractive, or maybe you didn't notice them in a crowd. But during my mingles, everyone gets to see everybody because I constantly am moving them around and they get to speak, you know, one-on-one. And the questions are, you know, first very general, where are you from and why you came here? But then the other ones are like, you know, what's on your bucket list, or what's something you're proud of, or, you know, what do you do?
Personalized. Yeah. Very personalized one. Yes. Yeah. You mentioned earlier, relationship ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And yes. So, as people are, there's some people, even in the sense that I've been counseling, they're now recognizing the importance in their life to have someone, you know, because they're starting to feel alone and stuff. So before we go into the dating part, what is relationship ready? What does that actually mean?
So I could use myself as an example. You know, I am ready for a relationship. You know, I was lucky enough to grow up with a fantastic family. I don't really have any underlying family issues I haven't resolved. I'm not widowed. I'm not recently divorced. Actually, I've never been divorced. I don't have kids. So I'm kind of an anomaly at my age where, you know, I'm building a business. I'm writing a book. Everything is going well. And I feel mentally, physically, and emotionally ready for a relationship, which means, you know, I don't want a casual hookup. I want a relationship. I want to build a relationship, a friendship. I want a partnership. And I know I've done a lot of work on myself that I'm ready for that. So I am relationship ready. And a lot of people, you know, maybe don't put those two words together. They think they're ready, but what are they really ready for?
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you're saying, like, sometimes people go into a relationship and they may have baggages from previous relationship holes in their life.
Previous relationship, they lost a loved one, they're having some issues with their kids or their ex or their job. You know, it could be anything, but we're all human beings, and negative things or stressful things that are going on in our life impact relationships, especially in the very beginning of dating when you really don't know somebody and you're learning to know somebody. Obviously, once you're dating and, you know, things come up, you can deal with them much better together, and you understand the person and how they deal with stress and how you can support them, or which ways they don't want to be supported, or what you should or shouldn't say. So that's why I'm trying to, you know, get people mingling, meet people who they wouldn't, but also let's talk about where you are truly, and are you truly asking for what you want from another person? Whether it's, you know, this is what I want, this is the type of person I want. I mean, you really can't be successful in a relationship until, first of all, we did a life coaching session called You Do You Before You Do Someone Else, meaning you need to be aware of you.
Right. And you need to love you.
Yes, love you. And then you need to be very, very sure of what you want out of a relationship before you even put yourself out there dating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everyone can do what they want. Some people want very casual dating. Some people want to hook up. Some people want a relationship. Some people want to get married. But you truly need to know what you want before you post a profile or put yourself out there, so you can make sure the other person is on the same page as you are.
Right. Because there is a thing called the law of attraction, which you put out there in the atmosphere, you get back. So exactly what you're saying. So if you feel like in your relationship ready, maybe you've been out of a relationship for a few years and you're healing, what is the next step? How should you go approaching the dating world?
Well, that's a good question, because especially now, dating is all internet-based. And I think I'm actually writing a book about dating, which I can talk about. I think I always say that I was born in the wrong era because I kind of wish I was born back in the days, you know, where you had a conversation on the phone, not via text, and you met someone you like and you just dated that one person. You know, today you could meet someone you like, but you're also talking with 20 other people on a website.
Right.
And, you know, courting's different. It's just very, very different today than it used to be. And I really miss those days. I mean, you know, I'm 48. So there were days when, you know, we didn't have texting or the computer. So we had to meet people very organically. And I think that's very hard today. So honestly, I don't know how you would meet someone truly if you're relationship ready, except put yourself out there. Okay. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of dating sites, even the ones you pay for, when I was writing my book, I found out some very interesting statistics is that, for example, one of them, and, you know, I found it on the web. I don't have the, it will be in my book, but it was a quote that 60 to 65% of the profiles of the people on there are of people who are already in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 in 10 profiles are fake.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's kind of like what my book is about. It's about kind of the reality of dating. And it's, I don't think there's a known answer, okay. Honestly.
Okay.
Because there are like millions of people on dating sites. And there's about 8,000 dating websites and apps out there across the world. So,
yes, I can't even navigate through all that.
You can't. And the thing is, the reason, and you would think, well, if people truly knew where to go to find a relationship, there wouldn't be these millions of people and there wouldn't be 8,000 dating websites. So, yeah. I mean, I don't want to put a damper on it, but I guess, I mean, I remember one person telling me it's a numbers game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. You know,
it's a numbers game.
Yeah.
But it also depends on your personality. For some people, it's a great thing. For others, yeah, it may not be so great.
Yes, so, the internet dating. Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know, me, I'm very social, but, you know, I guess if you're not very social and you get nervous, maybe internet dating is a great way for you to start with the initial exchanges of emails and the texts. And, but like you said, it's kind of also like your personality, which goes back to me. And I would mention the love language, but I'm a big quality time person, just in general.
Yeah.
Like if we had the choice, I'd rather be sitting with you face to face and talking.
Yes.
And, or like with my family. Well, they're up in New England, but like, I am all about quality time. Okay. I love it. This Zoom thing for me has been, everything is Zoom. And I'm like, oh, I just want to like sit with you and see you face to face and feel your energy. So, yeah, I mean, obviously your personality is going to determine things you do. But my big thing is, well, if you don't put yourself out there, they're not going to come knocking on your door.
Exactly. So. Exactly. So you just mentioned that you are writing a book.
Yes, yeah. I'm writing a book.
So
it came about because of COVID, and I have so many dating stories. And because I've never been married, I have been dating for 20 something years of my life. And, you know, I've had long relationships, 3 years, 4 years, but, you know, people say to me, why didn't you get married? And I said, because I never found someone I wanted to marry. So I was like, I am going to write, people had always told me you should write about your dating stories because you're so funny. You're like, I'm from the Boston area. So we tend to be a little bit more abrupt and, you know, assertive and crass. Yeah. And they're like, you need to write these down. So I wrote a book, and excuse me in advance for swearing, but I did check into your thing. It's called Dating What the Fuck. And it's a question mark.
Okay.
And it's almost done, actually.
Wow. Awesome.
Yes. And it is, I begin the book with, this is not a self-help book. So if you're looking for hope, don't continue to read on. It's just funny. It's funny. And I find statistics online and I make my comments about them. And some of the topics are like, where did the word dating come from? Or one of the other funny things is, when did men start naming their penis? And it goes back to the 1600s. And there's all in statistics about dating. And it's just very funny. It's raunchy and just almost kind of like the reality of where we're all at. And I did it because, you know, it's very pertains to this time that we're in with crazy amount of singles and how many there are. And then also, just so people can relate, like, oh my gosh, I went through that too. Or they can email me once the book's up and be like, I have a story for you. It's even worse than yours, you know. And yes, I reached out to some people, and they had told me some funny stories.
Oh, where are people going to be able to access your book or buy your book?
So it's almost done. So what I am doing is I have created an email. I am going to create the book's website. It's all going to be ready by the time the book comes out, so it can lead you to the website. But I created an email, and it's DWTF72@gmail.com. So it's the acronym for dating what the fuck, and then the year I was born, 72@gmail.com. So what I'm doing is anyone who is interested in the book, if they email me, I'm going to send them out a chapter for free. Oh. One chapter, they can read it. You know, I think it would be great, especially since we're all stuck at home. They can read it, tell me what they think. But yes, so if they would like a chapter, I'm going to send anyone who emails a free chapter of the book, which is titled
Dating What the Fuck. And what's the email again?
DWTF72@gmail.com. So the acronym for the title of the book, DWTF72@gmail.com. And I'm finishing up the book, so I'll be, you know, deciding very soon on the chapter. And I also have a line of singles t-shirts that I have created that will also be a part of the book and will allow them to get the link to go to the t-shirts.
Awesome. Yes. Well, as we're taking this, we'll go ahead and take a little break here. Why don't you tell us more about the different things that you're doing and how people can reach out to you?
So I'm hoping to go back into the in-person events. Unfortunately, Florida is going through a really tough time right now, and who knows if we're going to shut down again. But when we did have COVID, I actually brought all the events to the web.
Okay.
And we had about 40 participants at time, and in the beginning it was free, and we did calls with Amy, a life coach that I mentioned, and Garth, who's a friend, and he's a life coach, and it was nice to have a perspective of a male and a female. Yes. I did one with another life coach that did You Do You Before You Do Someone Else. Amy and Garth did anything from qualifying questions, like when you're out dating, what kind of questions should you ask to truly know? You know, some of us really don't even know what to ask. And honestly, if you are looking for a relationship, you do need to ask qualifying questions.
Exactly. Yes.
So we did that. We did psychics and mediums, and we had like 40 people on the call. And I would say 95% of the people on the psychic call asked about when they're going to find love. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to find love.
Yes.
So we brought those to the webinar for a bunch of months. We did.
Will you be doing some of these again, maybe in August or?
Yes, I'm trying to focus on finishing the book.
Okay.
Focusing on that, and then the t-shirt line, and I'm actually starting an internet dating website, which is a little bit different, which I will talk about more so. It will be in the book, more so the details. I'm really just starting it, but it's going to be very, very different, almost like the singles events. Okay. On the web with life coaching and just a little bit different. I haven't really started that yet, but I do have a lot of things that I want to do focused on singles.
Okay. What is some dating tips for people who are thinking of or dating or trying to date in this COVID-19? What are some resources or tips that you have found useful, if you've heard about or?
You know what, now that I think about it, now that you say that, this might be a great time for people, since dating can be a little bit rough, to do some exercises for themselves.
Okay.
So I've continued some life coaching. My writing mentor, who is helping me with my book, she's a published author and a life coach, and I've also done business coaching with her. But through all that, I've learned a lot about myself.
Okay.
And through the life coaching with Amy, learning, you know, how to be more direct in what I want. So I think in order to be successful, now might be a great time to create your vision board. And I don't know if people know what a vision board is, but it's a big board where you just cut out images of things you want. Like on my board is a book because I want to get my book published. On the board is, you know, a boat because someday I'd love to be, have a boat, you know, stuff like that. So you could create a vision board. I do an affirmation journal where you just put, you know, I am fantastic, or I am capable of a phenomenal relationship, or I am capable or will succeed in a business I want to start. So because I'm stuck at home, I'm doing a lot of work on myself, which will only benefit me when it comes to dating. So regarding tips or, you know, that's kind of why I wrote the book, because I honestly, and I'm going to be very honest, I don't think anybody truly knows the answer. It's a lot different today than it was back, you know, my parents are in their 70s and married 50 years back when they were dating. It's such a different world today. And in a lot of ways, I don't think it's going in the right direction because of the internet. And one person said it's almost like a catalog because there's so many options. Mm-hmm. Or you can create, you know, your specialized order regarding height, weight, skin tone, religion. And then, you know, what a good point is, well, maybe what you think you want isn't truly what you want.
Right, exactly. So
I think a lot of self-reflection, doing work on yourself, maybe reading some books, getting some life coaching, doing a vision board, creating an affirmation journal would obviously help you mentally, physically, and emotionally just for yourself and for dating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I definitely agree with you in that aspect as one who's been off the dating world for about 5 years now.
You're very lucky, April. You're very lucky.
Yes, yes. Kind of even what our last speaker talked about is that sometimes when things are happening, you've got to make a change.
Yes.
Yeah, and you've got to be optimistic, and exactly what you're talking about is start to work on yourself. You know what I'm saying?
And that's
what I did was I started to work on myself. I focused on exactly, hey, what do I really want? What am I bringing to the table, and what do I really want? And I think it's
hard now, too, because when you're single, like my whole family's up north, and I moved down here a year ago, and I have some friends, but when you're single, I mean, I live alone with my dog and cat. I think the fact that you're single and alone is much more prominent during COVID when you're stuck at home.
Yes.
So it's even tougher.
Yes.
You know, some people are still afraid to go out and meet, you know, a first time date. Some people aren't. Obviously every state is different, you know, but Florida is kind of a mess, but, you know, I definitely think it's a tough time for single people. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And not even single people who are looking for love or right. Just single people in general.
Right, right. You it's know? A tough time. I mean, I'm an introvert, but it's a tough time for even introverts.
Yeah, okay. Well, then it's definitely a tough time for extroverts like myself. So.
yes. Which is really important to have good friends.
Yes.
You know? Yes. And if you're dating or if you're about to go date, don't get rid of your friends. Because some people forget about your friends. But your friends and having a strong support system in your family really can help you through times like this.
Well, they always say, you know, dates can come and go, but not your friends and family. You know, you got to make sure you realize what's most important. And even though my family's far away, we Zoom and Skype, and I've made a couple friends down here. And it is very important. In general, you know, and I talk to my parents about dating. I'm very open with them. And I mean, they could probably, it'd be interesting for them to tell you stories from their perspective.
Yes.
So, but you know, and I Zoom with my family, and I did get to go home a couple times. But this is a tough time for single people or just people who are alone. But, you know, it is a great time to do internet dating. And I guess, and you know what, I've done Zoom calls. I've done FaceTime calls with people. So, like FaceTime, internet, you know, hey, you want to FaceTime? Which I think is great because one of the biggest complaints about internet dating is people don't look like their pictures. So when you FaceTime,
you get to
find out.
You actually get to sit there and sometimes even have a communication and talk without the other distraction of the bar or, you know.
Yes.
That may happen. So definitely. Yeah, I'm glad that you do that. Mm-hmm. And there also, I know that there are activities out there that group of people join online just to do different games or activities, which may be another way of meeting people.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, I am, you know, I have been out and about and I have done some meeting of people. But like you said, there are still some in-person events, but there are a lot of Zoom events now. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing book clubs over Zoom. They're doing women's business networking over Zoom. They're doing so many things over Zoom, which does help if you're afraid to go out.
Right, right. Well, Lori, thank you so much for being on the show. I mean, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Tell us again how we can get in contact with you if we have any questions or want to get information about upcoming events.
Sure. So I will give you my two emails I didn't mention, but you had mentioned Leave It to Lori Events is my event company, which is kind of on hold. But if you go on Facebook and type in Leave It to Lori Events, and that's L-O-R-I, you can go on the Facebook page, or if you want to email me, it's leaveittolorievents@gmail.com. So it's leaveittolorievents@gmail.com. So leaveittolorievents@gmail.com. And then the book for Dating What the Fuck, where I'm going to send everyone a free chapter if they email me. That email address is basically the acronym DWTF72@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you so much again. You're always welcome back on this show. Yes.
Thank you so much. Hopefully we can get together in person and do some of that work we wanted to do.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
All right. Thank you, April, so much.
Thank you. And to my audience, I would like to thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, my first guest, Dwight Bain, for being on the show, and he's welcome to join us. And in this audience, in this time period right now, we're in, you know, time period of COVID. And for many of us, and I'm hoping you enjoyed the two presenters that came on, because they talked about hope and they talked about getting out there and they talked about reinventing yourself. And so if you feel like you're stuck and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so lonely, I don't know what to do, think about whether you talk with a counselor, a therapist, a pastor, or your friend on how to do something different in this time period. Create something different. If there's things that you want, like Lori was saying, maybe creating a vision board. There's opportunities out there. And I'm always here to help. This has been the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. Thank you guys, and I'll see you guys next time.